Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Monday, November 23rd. City and County to Discuss COVID Measures by Caitlin Randall. A week after the Midland City Council voted down a mask mandate for businesses, they will meet again to consider other mask ordinances. The Midland County Commissioner's Court will also discuss coronavirus-related measures today. The City Council on Tuesday rejected an ordinance in a 6-2-1 vote that would have mandated businesses require customers to wear masks or face a $500 fine. Several council members said they voted against the ordinance because they intended to propose other items at the next meeting, which is today. There will be at least 4 items related to COVID-19 the council will consider, according to a copy of the meeting's agenda. Council member Jack Ladd proposed an ordinance similar to the one considered last week, but with a few changes. Businesses would be required to post signage instructing customers to wear masks or receive a $500 fine following an initial warning. Business owners and employees must also instruct customers who enter without a mask to wear a face covering or leave the business, according to the proposed ordinance. However, businesses would not be penalized if customers refuse to wear masks. Ladd wrote in an opinion article for the Reporter Telegram that he voted against last week's ordinance because he wanted to propose an ordinance that would have a better chance of being approved by the council. "I am in favor of a mask ordinance. I believe that the more of us that wear the mask, the safer we will be as a community," he wrote. "The real question for me is not whether I believe Midlanders should wear a mask, but how do we as a city council use policy to achieve that end?" Council member John Norman, who also voted against last week's proposed ordinance, requested the council pass a resolution that would authorize the Midland Police Department to enforce Governor Greg Abbott's statewide mask order, according to an agenda packet for today's meeting. Abbott, in July, signed an order that mandated Texans wear masks in enclosed public spaces and outside when social distancing is not possible or face a $250 fine. The order left the burden of enforcement on local law enforcement entities, and the Midland Police Department has so far not enforced the mandate. The lone vote in favor of the ordinance last Tuesday was cast by Michael Trost, who has asked the council to discuss a 7-point mitigation plan for slowing the spread of COVID-19. His plan would include a coronavirus task force made up of community leaders, a mask mandate on businesses with a fine up to $5,000, and the potential for license revocation, marketing encouraging residents to follow safety protocols, and increased testing. In contrast to the other proposals, Councilmember Scott Dufford has proposed a resolution that would state the council's support for mask wearing and other safety guidelines, but would not fine businesses or individuals who do not wear masks. The resolution would be a statement in support of these guidelines, and additionally, it would recognize the efforts of Midland Memorial Hospital employees. The County Commissioner's Court will also consider a pandemic policy today, according to a copy of the meeting agenda. The agenda does not outline what the policy may be, but County Judge Terry Johnson said Thursday it might include a reward for businesses that follow coronavirus protocols. "I'd rather look at what we can do to reward those who do the right thing," he said during a press conference. "One of the rewards is maybe we'll be a safer society here in Midland, but if it takes monetary rewards to help offset the cost of purchasing safety equipment, that's the position I'd like to take." Johnson said he would not ask the court to consider a mask mandate for the county because he believes it would be unenforceable. Both the City Council and Commissioner's Court meetings will begin at 9 a.m. More information. According to an agenda packet for today's meeting, City Council Member Michael Trost's proposal includes the creation of a COVID-19 task force, which would include 20 to 25 community leaders who would receive reports from healthcare officials and advise the council on ways to mitigate the spread of coronavirus across different economic sectors. Task force members may include the presidents of the Home Builders Association, Restaurant Association, and Midland Chamber of Commerce, as well as medical leaders. A mask ordinance for businesses with graduated penalties from a warning up to a $2,500 fine. On the fourth violation of the ordinance, businesses would have their licenses revoked if issued by the City of Midland, or receive a $5,000 fine if the license is issued by another entity. Increased testing similar to the free testing that's been offered periodically in Odessa. Trost is recommending the city request rapid tests from the state and work with Midland Memorial Hospital to coordinate a drive-through testing schedule. He's also proposing the city use CARES Act funding to hire additional contact tracers for the health department, establishing additional ways of measuring the impact of coronavirus on the community beyond positivity rates and hospitalizations. The proposal is not specific about what those metrics would be, but says they would be used when deciding whether to tighten or loosen restrictions. Using an ad agency to create marketing that would encourage residents to follow coronavirus protocols. The proposal notes that the City of Odessa began an advertising campaign during the summer. The ad agency would also be used to promote the county's chat system, which sends automated messages to participants in the hopes of measuring how many residents may be experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. Working with Midland Health to promote its BasinMD app as an alternative to going to the emergency room or calling 68 Nurse for suspected COVID-19 cases. Reimbursing businesses for their purchases of personal protective equipment and other safety gear with grants up to $1,000 or $2,000. Midlanders Company creates two new ranch water flavors by J.C. Lewis. Lone River Ranch Water has released two new flavors in time for the holiday season. Spicy Ranch Water and Rio Red Grapefruit Ranch Water are on grocery store and liquor store shelves now. Lone River's Spicy Ranch Water is the original ranch water recipe with a Texas kick. The West Texas Cocktail Classic is made with 100% organic agave, natural lime juice, and a hint of jalapeno. The Rio Red Grapefruit Ranch Water offers a different flavor profile with a Texas-sized squeeze of Rio Red grapefruit juice, 100% organic agave, and natural lime. Lone River Ranch Water was created by Midlander Katie Beal Brown, CEO of Lone River Beverage Company. The ranch water seltzer is part of Brown's family gatherings and culture, she said in a previous MRT article. Brown said she started the company as a way to help tell the story of West Texas and its relationship to ranch water, which is a hard seltzer. All Lone River Ranch Water varieties, sold in a six-pack with a suggested retail price, $8.99, are available statewide at major retailers such as HEB, United Supermarkets, 7-Eleven, and independent stores throughout the state. For more information, visit Lone River, BEVCO.com. Walk-ons to open today. Walk-ons Sports Bistro, 4605 Whitman Drive, is having its grand opening today. The first 20 customers will receive a mini football autographed by Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints and the chain's co-owner. In addition, guests can enter a drawing for a chance to win free walk-ons for a year. Entries will be accepted during the Midland Restaurant's first full month of business. The winner will be announced the week of December 21st. Walk-On's, known for Louisiana-inspired menu and game day atmosphere, will be open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday. The restaurant's opening will kick off at 11 a.m. with a ribbon cutting by the Midland Chamber of Commerce. Restaurants open on Thanksgiving. Curbside Bistro at 3816 Andrews Highway in Odessa will be open from 11 a.m. to when food runs out. The lunch is free to anyone needing assistance. Cracker Barrel Old Country Store will be open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 3108 North Loop 250 West. IHOP will be open on Thanksgiving with special pumpkin spice pancakes available. The restaurant's two locations are open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Saltgrass will be open for a dine-in turkey dinner from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 4511 Loop 250 Frontage Road. Buffalo Wild Wings will be open 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. at 5107 West Wadley Avenue. Carino's will be open noon to 6 p.m. at 711 Loop 250 Frontage Road. Starbucks locations will be open 4:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Whataburger open Thursday for 24 hours. Death notice from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Monday. Antonio Alvarado Martinez, 84, of Midland, passed away Thursday, November 19th. Funeral service is set for Monday, November 23rd at 10 a.m. at Amistad Christiana, 401 South Main Street. Burial will follow to Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Antonio is survived by his wife, Maria de la Luz Duran, 6 sons, Heber Alvarado, Jose A. Alvarado, Horacio Alvarado, Sergio Alvarado, Eliseo Alvarado, and Mario Alvarado, 4 daughters, Miriam Alvarado, Elizabeth Esquivel, Magdalena Leos, and Angela Valiz, 1 sister and numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Letter to the editor. Violators should be the one to experience consequences. Jane Meredith Wolfe. We have ordinances as to how fast we can drive on city streets. If I violate any of those speed limits, I risk getting arrested, ticketed, and have to pay a fine. That seems fair. If I put my fellow Midlanders in harm's way by driving too fast, I should experience the consequences of my actions, right? Wearing masks, according to growing evidence from infectious disease experts and public health professionals around the world, is more effective in slowing the spread of this virus than not wearing them. So, without an ordinance requiring masks in public places, it is my fellow Midlanders, not I, presently at risk of experiencing the consequences of my failure to wear a mask. Is that fair? A courageous Midland City Council took action some years ago to write an ordinance forbidding smoking in public places. There was enormous resistance, furious debate, lots of public outcry. In spite of all that, the council enacted that ordinance. Whether enforceable or not, we all comply. The No Smoking in Public Places ordinance was for the general health of the community, and that ordinance is forever. An ordinance requiring masks in public places for the general health of the community may be for a period of months, maybe less than a year. How about it, friends? Let's have a simple ordinance, much like the speed limit ordinances, so that those who violate it, rather than the rest of us, experience the consequences of their failure to comply. Twins are divided over mom's treatment for terminal cancer. Dear Abby, for Monday. Dear Abby, my 63-year-old mother has recently been diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic lung cancer. Even prior to her diagnosis, she was a negative and depressed person. She's been a smoker, drinker, and backseat driver for almost 50 years. She has undergone intense radiation, but is refusing to take her chemo pill. In her words, why should she prolong her life by another year, especially if it causes more side effects and won't cure her? My twin and I are her only children. She has no significant life partner and there are no grandkids. While I have kept in steady contact and maintained relations with her, even during all our bad times, my brother has taken an out-of-sight, out-of-mind attitude. We both live a 2 or 3 hour distance away from Mom. The problem now is my brother wants her to persevere through all the doctor's treatments, while I have accepted her decision to essentially let go. How can I help him come to terms with Mom's decision, and do you recommend any resources? Son, brother in California. Dear son, brother, I firmly believe in a person's right to make their own decision when it comes to continuing or discontinuing treatment for a terminal illness. If your mother feels the chemotherapy has side effects that are too debilitating to tolerate, it should be her choice whether to discontinue them rather than the preference of your brother. If your mother prefers palliative or hospice care, she is entitled to have it and she should discuss it with her doctor, who can see that she receives it. Two excellent books will provide the information you are seeking and more. Read them and share them with your brother. Both include the topic of physician-assisted aid in dying. The first, titled Finish Strong, is written by Barbara Coombs Lee, the founder of Compassion and Choices, an organization to which I have been a longtime contributor. For free resources regarding your mom's decision, visit CompassionandChoices.org. The second book, authored by Diane Rehm, who hosted the Diane Rehm Show on NPR from 1979 to 2016, is titled When My Time Comes, and will be followed by a documentary to be aired in the spring of 2021 on PBS. Dear Abby, I have been happily married for a few years. Prior to getting engaged, I had a close friend I had feelings for, but nothing ever came of it. We have remained close and see each other throughout the year at work conferences. He lives in a nearby town. I have realized the feelings I have had for him over the years haven't gone away. Should I tell him how I feel or forever keep my peace? History repeating in Alabama. Dear History, history isn't repeating itself. It's the same old story playing in your head. Ask yourself what you have to gain by telling him you still have romantic feelings for him. If the answer is trouble in your happy marriage, then keep your trap shut. Write Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California 90069. MISD Runoffs Feature Us Versus Them Dynamic by Stuart Doreen. John Trischetti III found out in the District 5 runoff in 2018 what it meant to align himself with a Midland ISD board in place. Victory. While he wasn't an incumbent, he might as well have been connecting himself with MISD leadership through public comments and opinion articles. That alignment guaranteed turnout, and the result was catapulting him from second place in the general election to first place in the runoff. That result might be enough to have some people wanting to follow in Trischetti's footsteps. That didn't seem to be the case in the election, specifically in District 4. Steve Vargas didn't seem to mind painting the runoffs as a binary choice. He said the runoffs could be seen as those who won't march lockstep with the board, he and Michael Booker, versus those he believes will, Katie Joyner in District 4 and James Fuller in District 1. We are completely opposite, Vargas said. James believes the system is good, which is not the case. I'm not saying he hasn't done anything good. He just hasn't done anything good in the last 12 years. In District 4, Katie, with her being close friends with Rick Davis, she may be more influenced by Davis than she might want to believe. That is just how it is. Joyner said during the campaign that she is her own woman. She referred to public comments she made in disagreement with previous Midland ISD leadership, including the creation of a petition to get students back on campus sooner than the reentry plan in place at the time. We are going to stay with our message and make sure people know we are about change. Big, positive change, Joyner said. I am not status quo, otherwise I wouldn't have run. Booker agreed that the element of us versus them is apparent in the dueling runoffs. Even during the general election, there was a political action committee promoting the candidacies of Booker, Vargas, and Rachel Davis in District 2. Robert Marquez secured his spot with a win over Davis. Booker said there is a need for fresh leadership, someone who will answer emails and calls, and someone who will listen to constituents of District 1. Fuller has been on the board for 32 years, or during parts of four different decades. He would like to secure another 4 years and said that what the board has done is setting the foundation for future success. He also said that District 1 residents know him through his participation on the board. That connection, he said, should be beneficial at the ballot box. As far as what the runoff might mean to the dynamics of the board, it is important to note that the new board will start off the next 2 years by electing board leadership. There are no guarantees about which board members might come forward. If the recent discussions of the Lee renaming are any indication, there was a moment in the discussion when Brian Murray, winner of the District 7 race, told other board members about specific times he has disagreed with leadership. That was just before he and Tommy Bishop decided to back the committee during the Lee High School renaming issue. Neither man told the Reporter-Telegram about their intentions moving forward, but any changes in board direction would likely require having Vargas and Booker to sweep their respective races. The same would be true if Matt Galindo, who currently stands in third place in District 1, finds himself in the runoff instead of Booker. Galindo said he plans to contest the results. Strategy isn't likely going to stop with the calls by some for change. Joyner had no problem pointing out the lack of a female representation on the Midland ISD School Board. Of the 19 representatives on the three highest-profile entities in Midland County, City County, School Board, and Commissioner's Court, only one is a woman, Lori Blong, council representative. I believe we need a woman on the board as well, Joyner said. It is important that we have an MISD mom representing a large proportion of the electorate. Woman wonders why son didn't reveal partner's miscarriage. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, I thought my son and I were close. Recently I learned that his girlfriend had a miscarriage. I learned about it from an email his girlfriend sent me, and I have also learned he told another relative he's close to about the miscarriage. I called his girlfriend after receiving her email and expressed my sympathy, inquired about her health, and told her that I would keep her and my son in my prayers. My feelings are hurt because I didn't hear about the pregnancy or miscarriage from my son, and he disclosed it to another relative instead. I thought we could discuss anything, even though we disagree on some things. I want to ask why he didn't tell me and let him know my feelings are hurt, because children are family treasures. Should I express how I feel and ask why he felt he couldn't share with me? Overlooked in Florida. Resist the urge to personalize this the way you have. If you are smart, you will think long and hard, a few months perhaps, before asking your son that question, because if there is a problem in your relationship, this will only make it worse. Take this opportunity to work on the things that aren't right in your relationship with your son. He may have had other things besides his mother on his mind when this happened, and may not have wanted or needed to be reminded that children are family treasures. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been together for almost 10 years. He's my dream boat, everything I ever wanted in a man. Although he doesn't have a history of cheating, he is flirtatious. My husband fixes computers. Last year, when my best friend's computer wouldn't turn on, he was happy to help. I just found a naked picture of her on his computer. When I confronted him, he confessed he stole it while he was fixing her computer. When I told my friend, she kind of blew it off. Men do stupid stuff. I don't know if I can trust him again, and I feel beaten down. I've been hurt several times before in prior relationships. Abby, what do I do? Shocked in New Jersey. Dear Shocked, your best friend's reaction was unusual. Most women would be mortified over this scenario. Your husband's behavior was shameful. He should delete the photo he stole and apologize to you and your friend for the stupid stuff he did. And because this has damaged your ability to trust your husband, insist on some sessions with a marriage and family therapist to see if the damage to your relationship with him can be repaired. Dear Abby, my mother-in-law has a disgusting habit. Whenever I'm starting to cook something with raw hamburger, she grabs a mouthful. I have tried explaining how dangerous it is, but she won't listen to reason. She says she's been doing it since she was a kid. She's 80 now. I've tried pointing out that the meat supply is not the same as it was then, but her response is, "It hasn't hurt me yet." Please advise. Careful cook in Carolina. Dear cook, I'll try. Go to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration website, FDA.gov, and search on eating raw ground beef. When you do, you will find printable information about the dangers of E. coli, which is most prevalent in raw hamburger, and especially dangerous to young children and people over the age of 65. Then give the printout to your mother-in-law and pray she's capable of changing her ways. Write Dear Abby at DearAbby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Latest economic forecast is for significant decline amid pandemic. The Economist by M. Ray Perriman. Our latest forecast update indicates significant declines in economic activity through 2020, despite a notable comeback from the dark days of spring, but a return to growth next year. In addition to the staggering and tragic human costs, the pandemic continues to curtail business activity. Even so, the economy, which was healthy going into the COVID-19 crisis, is signaling resilience and recovery potential. The U.S. job market continues to improve, but the pace of hiring is slowing. Total non-farm payroll employment rose by 661,000 in September, and the unemployment rate fell modestly to 7.9%. These improvements in the labor market reflect the continued resumption of economic activity that had been curtailed. Notable job gains occurred in leisure and hospitality, in retail trade, in health care and social assistance, and in professional and business services. Recent output numbers also indicate resilience in the economy. Real gross domestic product increased at an annualized rate of 33.1% in the third quarter of 2020, according to the advance estimate released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, a significant rebound after falling dramatically in the second quarter. Our latest projections indicate real gross product losses of negative 3.17% this year on a year-over-year basis, with positive 3.44% growth in 2021. Job losses are projected to be negative 8.3 million through 2020, with a recovery of positive 6.8 million jobs next year. The previous peak job levels will likely reoccur in early 2022. Texas is projected to retrench a little more than the nation this year, but recover a little faster next year, due in part to the fact that the state's largest export sector, oil and gas, has been hit particularly hard. We are expecting Texas' real gross product to decline negative 4.27% this year on a year-over-year basis, with positive 4.04% growth in 2021. Job losses are projected to be nearly negative 549,000 through 2020, with a recovery of positive 315,000 400 jobs next year. For Texas' largest metropolitan areas, the decline in employment on a year-over-year basis for 2020 is projected to range from 3.34% in the Dallas-Plano-Irving area to 4.23% in the Houston, the Woodlands Sugar Land area. Recovery in 2021 is expected to be strongest in the Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown, Dallas, Plano, Irving, and San Antonio, New Braunfels areas. As I have said repeatedly since the pandemic began, the economic crisis is driven by a health crisis. The recovery is going to be uneven, and a new normal won't fully materialize until effective vaccines and or treatments are widely available. As a result, there is far more uncertainty than usual surrounding our projections. If the recent surge in cases around the country compels significant interruptions in business activity, the recovery will be slower. In any case, Texas continues to be well positioned for long-term expansion. Stay safe. M. Ray Perryman is president and CEO of the Perryman Group.
This article is entitled, No Mandatory Masks. City Council. City mask mandate fails in 6-1 vote. By Caitlin Randall. The Midland City Council on Tuesday rejected an ordinance 6-1 that would have required businesses to enforce mask wearing or face a $500 fine. The vote followed remarks by Midland Memorial Hospital President and CEO Russell Myers, in which he said he was in favor of a mask mandate because it's been proven by our behaviors that enforcement is necessary. 39% of patients at the hospital on Tuesday were hospitalized because of COVID-19, Myers said, well above the state's 15% rule. When asked at what point he would consider the hospital to be overwhelmed, Myers said they already were. Still, city council members voted against the proposed ordinance almost unanimously. Michael Trost was the only council member to vote in favor of the ordinance. Mayor Patrick Payton voted down the item despite adding it to Tuesday's meeting agenda last week. He said during the meeting he placed the item on the agenda to have a representative discussion about it. Responding to those who might ask why he proposed an ordinance he planned to vote against, Payton said he did so to hear feedback on the issue from the community. Unlike voices that have grown comfortable with unilateral and gubernatorial action, I'm uncomfortable with such mandates and actions, he said. I made the decision to put the issue to an up or down debate and vote by the elected representatives of the city, not just the mayor. Several people spoke during the public comment period of the discussion, including former Mayor Jerry Morales, who owns Gerardo's Casita and Mulberry Cafe. He told council members he believes businesses should place signs on their doors encouraging customers to wear masks, but that fines would harm businesses that are already hurting from shutdowns. Councilmember Scott Dufford said he was voting against the ordinance because he doesn't believe the burden of enforcing a mask mandate should fall on businesses. While Councilmember Lori Blong said there was not clear consensus on the efficacy of masks. Some council members, however, said they would be proposing their own ordinances when they meet next week. Jack Ladd said he would be proposing an item like the one considered Tuesday, but without the fine or with wording that would allow for a preliminary warning. John Norman said he was in favor of the city enforcing Governor Greg Abbott's statewide mask order, which would fine individuals up to $250 for not wearing a mask in enclosed public spaces or outside when social distancing is not possible. Trost, council member at large, said he had written a 7-point plan, which he would present the meeting plan for Monday. Coronavirus cases have been spiking in Midland since October, and Midland Memorial Hospital recently opened an additional floor to care for an influx of COVID-19 patients. Myers said Tuesday that there were 93 COVID-19 patients at the hospital, and 120 patients was the absolute maximum they could care for. "We have a contingency plan that our clinical team talked about yesterday that will call for us to begin thinking about transferring patients out that we would normally care for." The City of Midland reported 9 coronavirus deaths so far this week, including a Midland Memorial employee. The employee who died Monday experiencing symptoms. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled "Polling Suggests a Mistrustful Electorate" by Charles Lane, Washington Post. In the annals of polling failure, one of the worst ever was the flop by the U.S. public opinion firms that flocked to Nicaragua ahead of February 1990 presidential elections. Brought about as part of the peace deal to end a brutal late Cold War battle between the Soviet-backed Sandinista government and U.S.-backed Contra rebels, the vote was going to be a victory for the Sandinistas, according to the polls, including one from a U.S. firm that foresaw a 27-point rout. After the opposition instead won by 14, Nicaraguans explained the discrepancy to foreign journalists. I was one. "We acted like El Guenguense," they said, an allusion to a comical national folk hero known for concealing his true intentions from powerful people through double entendres and disguises. Conditioned by Sandinista surveillance to distrust inquisitive visitors, they had avoided pollsters or given them the government line, then cast secret ballots according to their true wishes. Polling did not misfire that badly in the November 3rd U.S. election. But the discrepancies here still may teach an uncomfortably similar lesson. Reliable public opinion polling is necessary to and characteristic of a healthy democracy. Accurate information about voter sentiment renders society intelligible to elected leaders and leaders responsive to society. When citizens trust one another and institutions, they feel safe answering questions about politics, even from people they do not know personally, and even when it offers them no tangible personal benefit. In the 16th century Spanish colony that produced the legend of El Guenguense, or war-torn Marxist-ruled state of 30 years ago, such trust did not exist. Social trust, once high, may be breaking down in the United States as polarization grows. Majorities tell pollsters they do not trust fellow citizens to cast informed votes or behave civilly toward those with whom they disagree. Most also do not feel comfortable expressing their opinions about sensitive subjects such as race or Islam, except among people who are like me. Admittedly, these findings are the product of polls. They seem plausible, though, given that the November 3rd polling errors were not random, but rather all in the same direction, underestimating support for President Donald Trump and Republican Senate and House candidates. A likely explanation for this is that Trump's voters have lost so much faith in the system that they refuse to speak openly about politics with anyone they perceive as its representative, even when assured anonymity. Certainly, the president's campaign against election fraud, both before and after the vote, exploits and magnifies this loss of faith. As the polling expert David Shore has argued, respondents to live telephone interviews, still a main method for political polls, are significantly likelier than the average American to say that people in general can be trusted. Low-trust Americans still vote, even if they don't interact with pollsters. It's just difficult to predict whether they are likely voters, so pollsters cannot weight their samples to correct for their reluctance to answer surveys. The polls were not completely wrong on November 3rd. On average, they predicted the national winner, President-elect Joe Biden, as the winner of 48 states, as well as the winner of 48 states. Yet polls overstated Biden's popular vote margin, and wildly overstated his margin in some states, such as Wisconsin, while substantially understating Trump's margin in Ohio and Iowa. Polls were even less reliable for Senate and House races. All of this after the polling industry made changes to avoid a repeat of similar misestimation of Trump's strength among non-college-educated white voters in 2016. The challenge now is to reach people who don't want to be reached. An intriguing hint may come from the world of online marketing, where New York-based Flatiron Media slipped a Trump versus Biden question into a late October unsolicited email survey that asked 35,000 respondents whether they wanted to receive coupons from certain retailers and offered a chance to win $500 if they participated. Company co-founder Sujay Javaria supplied the results of this experiment to his friends via an October 30th Facebook post, only to find the next week that they had been remarkably accurate about Trump's support, anticipating, for example, that he would win Florida and North Carolina. Javeri's anecdote raises many methodological questions, but the implication is that low-trust voters might be more forthcoming if approached on non-political terms. It's probably important, Javeri told me, that the content of the site is appealing to a mass audience to get a good cross-section of the voting public. What percentage of the population doesn't want to win money today? In the end, restoring the accuracy of polling probably depends on restoring the social basis of open political discourse. And there's no quick technical fix for that. This article is entitled "No Rainfall Coming to Relieve Extreme Drought Conditions" by Stuart Doreen. Sometimes it feels like it's not going to rain again in Midland. Of course it will. The National Weather Service just isn't terribly enthusiastic that there will be a lot of precipitation for the rest of the year, and not much anytime soon. After a wetter than normal start to the year, 5.27 inches through March, the fortunes of a region changed, thanks in part to a La Nina weather pattern. What came about was 7 straight months of a less-than-average rainfall. In fact, most of the rainfall in any month from April through mid-November was 0.83 of an inch in September. All totaled, 1.6 inches of rain has fallen since April 1st. The National Weather Service reports 11.21 inches of rain is normal from April to the 1st of November. The result in our region is in extreme to exceptional drought, worst possible according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. The Climate Prediction Center's monthly and seasonal outlooks call for drought conditions to persist. The National Weather Service's Midland office told the reporter Telegram that the next chance of rain isn't for a while, maybe Sunday night into Monday morning. Even Midland officials in the NWS office are expecting a warmer and drier condition to be the norm through the rest of the year and into 2021. A, quote, pattern shift, unquote, is needed to avoid more months like the last 7+. As it stands right now, the National Weather Service is reporting 6.87 inches of rainfall this year. That means average rainfall the rest of the year will not keep 2020 from being among the driest years on record in Midland. Average yearly precipitation in Midland is 14.6 inches. The total this year, 6.87 inches. Normal through November 15th, 13.68 inches. Total since April 1st, 1.6 inches. Normal April 1st to November 15th, 11.21 inches. This column is entitled "Anxiety Becomes a COVID Symptom" by Kathleen Parker, Washington Post Writers Group. Columbia, South Carolina. As I lay myself down to sleep on Thursday night, I began my usual review of the universe, the meaning of life, the interminable election, and of course COVID-19. My eyes would not close. I reminded myself to breathe. Then I did something my pre-pandemic self would have considered a waste of time. I downloaded a meditation app. It downloaded so slowly, I fell asleep before it finished. Clever. I'm no stranger to anxiety, having experienced it twice weekly for more than 30 years as the next column deadline approached. But my current anxiety is of a different order and reminds me of living in California. Stay with me. When I lived in San Jose, directly over the San Andreas Fault in the mid-1980s, I was always slightly anxious, if unconsciously. I had a baby, and my workplace was 10 miles from home. What if an earthquake hit, and I couldn't get to him? I would have sprinted all the way home, obviously. Not until I moved back east did I realize the extent of my earthquake stress. In Florida, where hurricanes provide plenty of warning, I began to notice that I was more relaxed. I felt my shoulders drop an inch or two. They'd been hanging around my ears like boulders of worry for 4 years. I slept better than I had in years and began each day grateful that the ground was firm. The coronavirus has brought restlessness back. It hovers over us like a bird of prey, scouting for a vulnerable form of life. Yes, I've given anthropomorphic form to COVID-19, but even doctors and scientists are doing it. I've heard CNN's Sanjay Gupta say dozens of times, the virus doesn't care. I'd like not to care about COVID-19 in return, but we must. The challenge for scientists, doctors, and political leaders is to sustain a manageable level of concern without inducing extra anxiety. I'd like to tell you that yoga does the trick for me, but it's really vodka. Apparently, drinking is on the rise, and smoking is making a comeback, according to Marlboro maker Altria. Google searches for anxiety in the past week reached a 16-year high, according to the data analytical company DataTrek. Meanwhile, searches for restaurant and mall are, shall we say, underperforming. From here, the news gets pretty dreary. We're entering the holiday season and the flu season, and many are contending with celebrating in the absence of friends and loved ones. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says we should only gather outdoors, which is fine if you happen to live in southern climes. But what about folks up north, if any are left? Most seem to have migrated to South Carolina, where local Republicans are worried they'll turn the state from red to blue. Urban apartment life doesn't lend itself well to even small gatherings during a pandemic. But then maybe our trials will make us all more creative and more mindful of our blessings. Given the stakes, it's difficult to understand why some people prefer to put themselves and others at risk rather than to take the simplest precaution. We've heard the mantra hundreds of times, wear a mask, avoid large gatherings, socially distance. We've also heard that if everybody would play nice and keep to themselves for 2 straight weeks, we'd be able to get the pandemic under control. 2 weeks is nothing. And yet there are those who'd rather follow President Donald Trump's example of roaming mask-free and cite his rapid recovery from COVID than surrender to what they consider misguided groupthink. This attitude may be Trump's most diabolical contribution to the United States. Being a curious sort, I'll sometimes ask people why they're not wearing a mask, a risky proposition in itself. Here in the Bible Belt, many say they've put everything in God's hands. But the gift of free will was predicated upon an assumption of intelligent life. Predictions of ongoing spikes in infections and death rates are based on current trends of idiotic behavior, but it isn't ordained that we commit stupidity. Besides, the alternative to voluntary acquiescence is far worse. President-elect Joe Biden has promised to encourage mask mandates and order lockdowns if he has the authority. I'm no more inclined than the next renegade to fall in line. But what say we buck up and end this thing quickly? Otherwise, Democrats may force us to meditate too.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Monday, November 23, 2020. Serving others. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry hosted its annual Thanksgiving meal on Friday. Midland County Sheriff's Office helped serve the meals. Because of the pandemic, the ministry had to reduce the number of people who could attend. Meetings today. City Council, 9 a.m., 300 North Lorraine Street. Council Chambers, City Hall. Video conference information. Please click this URL to join. zoom.us/j/93955008812?PWD=STN4Y242DDNWBV0SE1UT08RTNNZDZ09. Passcode 537284. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. 500 North Lorraine Street. Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse. Video conference information. The public may view this voting session while in progress online at the following link. co.midland.tx.us/500/commissioners-court. Contact your representative. Midland County, P.O. Box 421, Midland, Texas, 79702. Website, co.midland.tx.us. County Judge Terry Johnson, 688-4310. Commissioners, Precinct 1, Scott Ramsey. Precinct 2, Robin Donnelly. Precinct 3, Luis D. Sanchez. Precinct 4, Randy Prude. City of Midland, 300 North Lorraine, Midland, Texas, 79701. Website, midlandtexas.gov. Facebook, facebook.com/cityofmidlandtx. Twitter, twitter.com/cityofmidland. Mayor, Patrick Payton, 685-7204. City Council, at large, Spencer Robnett and Michael Trost, District 1. Scott Dufford Sparks, District 2. John Norman, District 3. Jack Ladd Jr., District 4. Lori Blong. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 68 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 68 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate health care option, whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home. Firefighters doing virtual fill the boot. The International Association of Firefighters and Professional Firefighters Association of Midland, Local 4405, are doing a virtual fill the boot, which will take the place of the annual in-person campaign for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Instead of placing donations in boots held up by Midland firefighters at intersections across Midland, residents can donate at filltheboot.donordrive.com/participant/Midland. The virtual campaign continues through the end of the year, said Greg Wells with Midland Local 4405. Their goal is $5,000, according to the website. Health Department is providing services. The Midland Health Department is providing clinical services by appointment only. Appointments will be scheduled from 8:15 a.m. through 3:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. To schedule an appointment, call 681-7613. West Campus Testing Site extends hours. Midland Health has received funding from the city that will allow extended hours for COVID-19 testing at Midland Memorial Hospital West Campus. The testing site will operate 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturdays. Anyone who has been exposed or is symptomatic can call 68 Nurse 686-8773 to make an appointment at the drive-through testing site. The test is free for those who are scheduled. Insurance information will be collected from those who are insured. Watering schedule. The City of Midland has adjusted the lawn and landscaping watering schedule, which will allow residents to water 4 days a week instead of two. Even-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and odd-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Today in history. Today is Monday, November 23, the 328th day of 2020. There are 38 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On November 23, 1963, President Lyndon B. Johnson proclaimed November 25 a day of national mourning following the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. On this date, in 1936, Life, the photojournalism magazine created by Henry R. Luce, was first published. In 2000, in a setback for Al Gore, the Florida Supreme Court refused to order Miami-Dade County officials to resume hand-counting its Election Day ballots. Meanwhile, Gore's lawyers argued in a brief filled with the U.S. Supreme Court that the High Court should stay out of the Florida election controversy. Source AP. Jacqueline Bigger's Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Sagittarius. Happy birthday for Monday, November 23, 2020. Irreverent, individualistic, and humorous. When you keep on an even keel, you achieve enormous success. In 2021, you ground yourself further with excellent finances. If single, family members might play matchmaker, but will not succeed. You have to find your own mate. If attached, commitment to family life is very important. You have a perfect romance, especially when traveling. Libra is the most romantic there is. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Even while at work, today stimulates a deeper spiritual awareness. Heed a message brought in a dream. Decisions can be made about home and family. You'll prefer to spend time away from crowds. Tonight, write emails, arrange meetings, and journal. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 2 stars. Friends are a blessing today. Membership in a group can be a catalyst for happiness and accomplishment. Insight is especially keen, and there's a sense of rebirth following the clearing of old blockages. Tonight, find you dwelling on regrets or a lost love. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. The urge to try something new is brewing. Make decisions and schedule meetings. Changes within a profession as a whole might make adjustments a must. Make a note in your journal of creative inspirations that occur. Tonight, send handwritten invitations. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. Today finds you sharing anecdotes with others to teach as well as to entertain. This leads you to assume a leadership role. If in doubt, reflect before taking action. Love takes a dramatic turn for the better. Tonight, the moon brightens your travel sector. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Honor the memory of those who have passed, as well as events that have occurred in your life. You will feel free to release and move forward. It brings an excursion that serves as a catalyst for growth. Tonight, your long-harbored dread of loneliness dissipates. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Discussions revolve around the future of a partnership. Legal matters might require some attention. People close to you are sentimental. You will be especially responsive and sensitive. Control emotional impulses and keep a sense of humor if you're upset. Tonight, relax. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today promises excitement. A new environment and new routine are possible. Be receptive to changes, but wait and see which way the wind blows before moving forward. The veil between this world and the next will feel quite thin. Tonight, catch up with a friend. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Today favors a risky gamble or expansion. Do not be drawn into a financial scheme by a pal, as it would be disappointing in the long run. Affirmations could be helpful if said out loud. Tonight, a favorable outcome following some highs and lows. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. A residential change may be considered, and family members are going through some changes. Dynamic and demanding people approach you at work. You might feel that you're being swept along by the ideas of another. Adapt. Tonight, back away from confrontations. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. The pace will be fast. This transit favors initiating meetings, conversations, and messages. Much is learned through conversations and emails. Commuter travel accelerates in frequency and importance. A neighbor becomes a better friend. Tonight, emphasize the power of written affirmations. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. Today promises shape-shifting and exchanges. It's easy to make adjustments and resolve long-standing dilemmas, including financial problems. Hunches and synchronicities should be heeded. Make the most of the new opportunities the universe offers. New income sources are on the way. Tonight, celebration. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Your loving and caring nature exudes a captivating compassion. Maybe not today, though. Today finds you very motivated. You're bursting with enthusiasm about new projects. Do release stress, however. Tonight, step back and regroup if you feel a tinge of anger. Born today, actor Boris Karloff, 1887, comedian Harpo Marx, 1888, singer Miley Cyrus, 1992.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.